Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. As California looks ahead to relief at last from weeks of rainstorms that have caused floods and slides, there's word President Biden plans to see the situation firsthand. On Thursday, he's due to meet with first responders, officials, and people in water-devastated communities. There have been a lot of them, like Pittsburgh and the San Francisco area. KCBS Radio's Matt Bigler.
A nearby creek engorged with rainwater spilled over the roadway and into an apartment complex.
The water continued to rise throughout the course of the night, causing extreme overflow of the corridor.
City spokesperson Colette Simonton says they scrambled to evacuate three apartments and a dozen homes.
We brought in a bus so we could bus anyone out that needed to be.
The president staying quiet about the controversy involving documents marked classified found at his private home and a one-time office. As for his staff,
they say that Americans don't care about this, that they have far more concerns, such as the economy, paying their bills, inflation, whether the president is creating more jobs.
White House correspondent Weijia Jiang. Several shootings in the news. There's been an arrest in New Mexico and the shootings at the homes of four local political figures that didn't hit anybody arrested another political figure. Meantime, California authorities look for at least two people in the early morning killing of six.
The killings took place just past 3 o'clock in the morning at a Central California home near the city of Visalia. Two of those killed were found dead in the street. Sheriff Mike Boudreau.
This definitely was not a drive-by shooting. We definitely have suspects who came in onto the property and made it very personal.
Investigators believe the killings are gang-related. Just last week, the sheriff's office conducted a narcotics-related search warrant at the residence. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
And we await more detail from St. Lucie County, Florida, where the sheriff's office reports eight people shot, one critically, at a Martin Luther King Jr. commemoration event. There were many other King events all over the country. WSB Radio spoke to his youngest child, Bernice King, about questions raised by her father.
Am I thinking in the right way about the world, about humanity, about people? Am I thinking in the right way when I'm making decisions that are going to impact other people's lives?
President Biden says he is ready to work with Republicans on the issue of the nation's debt ceiling, which does need raising soon, but within limits.
This was one of the wedge issues they were trying to iron out behind closed doors, is what to do about the debt ceiling dispute when it comes down the road. And we're down that road now.
That is CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane. U.S. financial markets were closed for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Overseas markets, though, were open. Europe was higher. In after-hours trading, U.S. market futures lower. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With the I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
I'm very excited because I'm going to make my case that despite being married to a Michael, despite having my best friend be a Michael, I don't think we need any more Michaels.
That's a bold stance to
take. Just saying. Maybe throw John in there too.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Happy Monday. Happy Martin Luther King. Do you say Happy Martin Luther King Day?
Is that the correct way to phrase it?
I don't know. It's kind of like what we learned about Yom Kippur, where you do not say have a good Yom Kippur.
No, right.
I don't know if it's we're honoring, we're reflecting.
The day to honor.
We're hopefully, for those who have the time and the ability, having a day of service, which we're going to talk about at the noon hour. But it is Monday. We are here. We are live. And we have a great show. We are going to kick off this top hour at 11 o'clock with some headlines. And then in the noon hour, we're going to talk about... Well, it's a lot of different issues with or angles of Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
The essay contest that happens in Milwaukee, and specifically one of the winners who's in fifth grade, who just nailed it.
Really?
And so I'm going to read that. And also some of the more overlooked parts of MLK, including the fact that he was wildly unpopular when he died, despite how much we revere him now. People like to forget that as they tweet out some of his quotes. And then the last hour, I'm so excited for
this. I am too.
So David Haynes, who recently retired from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he was the editor of the Ideas Lab there. After spending about a third of his career at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he has retired. He was also my boss. He's going to be here for the full hour, and we're going to have a conversation about, you know, trying to tap into some of his institutional knowledge of how Wisconsin has changed, especially politically, over his time here, because he's not actually from here.
He's not.
He's from Indiana.
Oh, well, it's not too terribly far.
Not too terribly. Still Midwest. But then also how journalism has changed, how newspapers have changed over his time, and also where we're going, and get his thoughts about that. And so I'm really excited for that conversation. So that's happening at 1. But to kick off today... They're just really on a roll right now. It's funny because I feel like during the election season, I'm friends with Jesse O'Poyan, who's the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Cap Times in Madison.
Right.
And it's funny talking, and she's great at what she does. She's been doing it for a long time. And it's interesting talking to her about the ebbs and flows of her, not even ebbs and flows, the changing of focus in Wisconsin. For her, in her job, in that she, you know, obviously in even years, it's elections, it's big elections that are always really close. But then, you know, we go back to legislating and governing, and then that becomes her focus. And it's like, now that we have this show and there's, you know, we're not talking about, we are talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court election and the other nonpartisan election races that are happening this spring. But it's also coming back to what our legislative body is legislating on in the Capitol. And, you know, I want to be fair because we were saying the importance of voting in advisory referendums. There was a lot of those in the fall. There was also binding referendums on budgets. But as it sounds like tomorrow, the state legislature is going to be voting on a new advisory referendum aimed to hopefully be a little bit of a dog whistle to help turn out for the Wisconsin Supreme Court election, having to do with welfare.
Yeah.
And I just thought we'd spend some time talking about it this morning. So this is from Molly Beck that came out this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Wisconsin lawmakers will vote this week on a resolution that would add an advisory referendum to the April election ballot on whether welfare recipients, which, let's be honest, and we're going to get into this later, welfare is an umbrella term. There is multiple different programs that fall under this coined term of welfare. Some people you know may be getting public assistance in some way, but because just starting off, that is a dog whistle. Welfare. On whether welfare recipients should work to receive benefits, a move made by Republican legislative leaders aimed at helping conservative candidates for state Supreme Court by boosting turnout among their supporters. And it's also just interesting to me that they know that this would get people to turn out for the chance to vote in an advisory referendum that does nothing just to hammer home the point. You shouldn't get welfare if you can work and aren't working.
Now, it was my understanding that there are already numerous things in place and in a large number of requirements for people to either look for work or prove that they've looked for work in order to receive some of these benefits.
Yes, and we'll get to that. But just a little bit more on so they're voting on this tomorrow. Devin Lemieux and Robin Voss introduced this on Friday, and it would add an advisory referendum to the spring ballot. And it's basically, the wording is, shall able-bodied, childless adults be required to look for work in order to receive taxpayer-funded welfare benefits? Now, first of all, in that category, there's not even that many benefits that you can even be qualified for. But we'll get back to that. So if passed, the referendum would have no effect. But the issue of work requirements for welfare benefits has generous support among conservatives, a key priority for past Republican governors, including Scott Walker and Tommy Thompson. And there's some other resolutions happening right now. And I don't know if it's the same motivating factor of, if we put these kind of triggering issues on the ballot, it will bolster turnout. But there's also a constitutional amendment proposal that would give judges more latitude in deciding bail conditions. And there's also one more. State Senator Andre Jacques has also introduced a resolution that would put an advisory referendum question on the ballot that asks voters whether school districts should be prohibited from providing curriculum or instruction to students that one race or sex is inherently superior to another race or sex, or that an individual by virtue of the individual's race or sex bears responsibility for acts committed in the past by other individuals of the same sex or race, according to analysis from a nonpartisan legislative reference bureau.
Come on.
Yeah.
What?
So under state law right now, unemployed people are already limited in their ability to receive food stamps and must search for employment in order to receive unemployment benefits.
That's been the case for a long time.
Yes. So you have to, and this was the problem, if you remember back in 2020, when there was a lot of people who were unemployed who were qualified and they met the criteria of being able to receive unemployment benefits, because if you remember what was happening in 2020, a lot of people didn't have jobs. And because of our system, our system being so outdated, the triggers and all the process of trying to get the unemployment that you qualified for, hundreds of thousands of people were having issues with it.
Yes.
But simultaneously, since the Scott Walker era, there was changes made in the process of doing that, including how you have to submit how many jobs you've applied for. But let's not forget, our unemployment is $7.25. I mean, our minimum wage is $7.25. So there are people who work 40 hours and make $7.25. And guess what? They're working, but they're not making enough money to actually survive. And so instead of conversations about how do we get more people out of not needing public assistance, let's get the people riled up and get them to be like, well, if you can work, you shouldn't get anything if you're not working. And there's no numbers of how many people in Wisconsin that actually applies to.
Oh, they wouldn't want to include that. That seems like that would be an important piece. You know, if they really, really want to make sure that their base voters get out in this primary next month, they should put on something about gas stoves. It'd be huge. It would be completely nonsensical and mean absolutely nothing, but they would show up in droves.
Are that still a conversation, or have we moved past that yet?
I think there's still a little bit about that. You know, the M&M's outrage didn't last for very long, and then it was the gas stoves. But I think if they were, I'll consult for them.
I saw something hilarious, and we're going to talk more about some of the numbers and the breakdown of welfare, quote unquote, in Wisconsin and some of the numbers of that. But if you have thoughts on this, you're welcome to join the conversation. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. But just quickly before we go to break, with the M&M meltdown.
Melted in your mouth and not in your hands, by the way.
Exactly. And I saw a creator on TikTok that I really like. He's like, remember a couple weeks ago when I was trying to make the analogy of there is no war on Christmas, but it's like someone walked into an M&M store and was like, oh, they're trying to take our M&Ms, but here you are in the store where they're singing M&M songs, and yet here we are. He's like, and then fast forward to this, and he cuts to a video of someone losing their absolute mind over the female M&M bags.
Oh, it's priceless.
And then if you are a man who buys the female M&M bags, you are a beta. You shouldn't be able to call yourself a man, and just meltdown.
Well, and wasn't his whole thing to get back at them was to go in and buy the biggest bag of M&Ms they had and then just smash it up and throw it away. So you're giving them your money for their product with it, which you're then going to destroy and throw away. Well done.
Great way to start a Monday. All right. Well, when we come back, again, if you have thoughts on this advisory referendum, 844-967-2789. Otherwise, when we come back, I have some numbers just to put things in context of who's receiving what in Wisconsin when it comes to public assistance. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw. It's not-
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a chance for isolated showers. Lows level off around 37. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast tomorrow, chance for isolated showers, daytime highs approaching 39. Cloudy skies tomorrow night, lows around 31. A dusting of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. We are talking about this new advisory referendum that Republicans in Wisconsin would like to add to the spring ballot in hopes that it will rile enough people up to boost turnout for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And when I first read this morning, It reminded me of this. I think one of the things we took away from the fall election was that, at least one of the things I took away, is that voters are smarter than you give them credit for. And that they, you know, they're not above like split ticket voting, and that they aren't just, you know, they're better critical thinkers than sometimes I think politicians, or more specifically political consultants, give them credit for. And I want to believe that that would apply here. And like, because when I first read this morning as I was getting ready for today's show, because it just came out this morning from Molly Beck and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, it was like, oh, do they think that their voters are this dumb? That this is what would drive turnout, is a chance to vote in an advisory referendum to state your opinion, because this would do nothing of changing any of our rules or applications of who qualifies for public assistance.
It's not binding in any way.
And it also doesn't change that much from what the rules are and the criteria is now to qualify for many of the public assistance programs. Is that this is what'll do it. This'll get the people out who really are angry about handouts. And maybe they're right. But I would like to, I mean, I saw this and I was like, oh, do they really think that their own voters are that dumb, that this is their ploy to get them to turn out?
They must believe that to some extent.
Because I was looking at the numbers. So there's multiple different, when we talk about welfare, there are some of the major federal and state and local social programs are the following. So there's Supplemental Security Income.
SSI.
There's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, which is food stamps. There's Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, WIC. And that was something that popped up a lot during the baby formula shortage.
Sure.
Because when you're on that program, as same thing with SNAP and food stamps, there's only certain brands you can use those for. So for the WIC, women who work under that program, even if there was a different formula that was stocked, they couldn't buy it. So there is, not only do you have to, the criteria to qualify for these programs, but there's so much limitation on what you can even use the assistance for.
Right.
There's the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, TANF, I think is how it was pronounced.
I think so.
There's general assistance, and then there's obviously the big ones. There's Social Security, unemployment insurance compensation, workers' compensation, Department of Veterans Affairs benefits. So in Wisconsin, so adults and children receiving TANF, it's only 32,000 people, which is a pretty small percentage, versus SNAP. So children receiving food stamps is 260,000.
Wow.
So there's a lot more children who qualify to not go hungry.
Than adults.
Than adults who are just... So this is adults and children receiving TANF. So that's... Some percentage of that 32,000 is kids. Some percentage of that 32,000 is adults with kids. And I don't even know what small percentage would end up being childless adults who are able-bodied.
Yeah, it would be kind of nice to have a specific number that is receiving all these free handouts. I mean, if you want to...
People are so angry about...
Yes, that it's going to be enough to get people out to the polls. You should give them specifics. Really outrage them.
And then the earned income tax credit is 349,000 people. Number of children enrolled in Medicaid and CHIP is 582,000. So a lot of this comes down to children. So most of these programs where there's children involved is where there is the higher numbers of people who are receiving benefits. But
These are not childless adults.
No. And so I just, you know, because it's a hefty article, but I was reading it last night in the attempts of, oh, do I want to try to tackle this in our conversation about Martin Luther King and his Poor People's Campaign, which is what he was really working on at the end of his life. And this idea that this American concept of personal responsibility and how there's been multiple studies done where readers of stories of a person's plight and poverty, they're always looking for the thing. It was like, well, look, see, they just made bad choices. This could never happen to me because they just made bad choices. And this idea that we shouldn't, that it is morally reprehensible to support people in need. And the over calculation of people who are receiving any kind of public assistance are getting a handout, gaming the system, are lazy, without ever actually looking at the breakdown of what these numbers are and what they mean. And because, of course, there's people who try to play the system.
Absolutely.
But
look at all the people who ripped off the PPP loans.
Yes. Look how many people cheat on their taxes.
Oh, wait, they don't. They just use loopholes that the most of us can't afford.
So, I mean, I would assume this is going to be on the ballot because they have the numbers to vote it on there. I maintain that I feel like this is them. And like, I feel like it just admits that they think that their voters are dumb enough to be like, oh, this is, I'm really excited to go vote on this.
Telling you, you want a sure shot. Make it about gas stoves.
All right. Well, we're going to take another break. But when we come back, some more headlines, including the Women's March coming to Madison this weekend. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. After weeks of rainfall, California has promised relief, but first...
There is one more storm, what's called an atmospheric river, set to hit the Golden State that should begin to drop rain in the next 24 hours. Officials are issuing new warnings about potential flooding and mudslides.
Correspondent Steve Futterman, some of that recent rain and snow will move deeper inland and points east. Congressional Republicans want visitor logs of President Biden's Delaware home in connection with those sensitive documents found there, but Skylar Henry reports...
The White House tells CBS
CBS News that while they keep records of who comes and goes from the White House, there are no such records at the president's personal residence.
A New Mexico politician who recently lost an election is under arrest in the recent shootings at the homes of four other Albuquerque area political figures.
This was about a right-wing radical, an election denier who was arrested today, and someone who did the worst imaginable thing you can do when you have a political disagreement, which is turn that to violence.
Mayor Tim Keller, CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then, someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in today, this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Reminder, if you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com or wherever you find podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. And as always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. All right. Well, so we were just talking about one party's, I don't want to say ploy. I want to use a less pointed word than that.
Effort.
Effort. Thank you.
Sure.
To try to boost turnout for the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. But people on the other side of the aisle are doing something different to try to raise awareness and talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And that means the National Women's March is coming to Madison this weekend. And I'm going to be totally honest. I didn't know they were still doing women's marches.
To be totally honest, I didn't either.
Did you ever do, did you do one in 2017?
I was in a place where I could not do that.
Meaning your work situation? Got it.
Yes.
Now, I've talked about this before. I went to the one in D.C. in 2017, and it was incredible.
It must have been. I watched it on TV. It was remarkable.
700,000 people? Yeah, that was incredible, and there was so much enthusiasm and energy then. And then I went again in 2018 in the one in New York that was up by Central Park. And actually, fun story that day, I don't even know what my sign was. I had some clever sign, and I was walking through Central Park. It was really cold that day. And guess who stopped me to take a picture of my sign?
Can you narrow it down?
A famous broadcaster.
Jake Tapper.
Now as a woman.
Oh, he's a woman. Yeah, I don't know.
Katie Couric.
Cool.
It literally took me a second because she wasn't wearing any makeup. So I was in my clothes. Yeah, I was holding my sign. And she said, oh, can I take a picture of that? And then she did. And then she walked away. I was like, I think that was Katie Couric. And then lo and behold, when she posted later that day on her Instagram pictures she had taken from the Women's March in New York 2018, there I was. And
neat.
I freaked out a little bit.
That's cool.
But anyways, so I didn't know that they were still doing these. I certainly didn't. There's been marches since the overthrow, doing Roe v. Wade. There's been multiple rallies and marches throughout Wisconsin, throughout the country. But I did not know specifically that the National Women's March was still an organization and still doing annual marches. But now we know that they are. So this Saturday, the National Women's March is going to be in Madison for the 49th anniversary of Roe versus Wade decision. And organizers specifically chose Wisconsin for their 2023 march, dubbed it Bigger Than Roe because of the upcoming state Supreme Court elections. And so on their website, they explain that the event is aimed at convincing voters to oust the conservative majority leading the current high court and replace it with one that may overturn the 1849 law that went into effect immediately after Roe fell. And the quote from one of the organizers is, right now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has a 4-3 conservative majority. If a pro-choice candidate wins the seat, we could overturn the abortion ban in Wisconsin. So if you are around Madison or want to drive to Madison,
it's not that far.
It's not that, certainly not that far from us, but you can gather around Wisconsin State Capitol on the State Street steps on this coming Saturday at 1:30. A speak out is set inside the State House in the Rotunda. And the groups state that this is part of their effort to put pressure on every lawmaker across the country. So I don't know if I'll be going. Like, part of me wants to go. But I don't know if it'll be interesting to see what the turnout is.
Texter says that it's on Sunday.
The 22nd. Ah, yep. Thank you, Texter.
Thank you, Texter, from the 262.
Sunday, January 22nd. I think I had it in my mind because they used to be.
It seems like a Saturday
thing.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what turnout is, especially if this is the national one, if there's people planning to fly in for this.
I just haven't heard that much about it. So.
I hadn't heard anything about it until this morning.
Unless it's much more common knowledge in Madison.
But I feel like if this was a Madison organization putting this on, it would make sense. But for this to be the National Women's March, but like we said, maybe it's also because we haven't known that they were doing anything in the last couple of years.
That's true, too.
But so speaking of women and government and
going backwards.
I don't know. If this happened in Wisconsin, one, I think I could see it happening. And two, unlike Missouri, I know more women who work in the Wisconsin State Capitol. And I think I have a better idea of how they would react if this happened, which I'm sure some of the women who were in the Missouri State House, this was also their reaction. But the running joke on social media this weekend is that Missouri last week banned the right to bear arms. In that, not guns, but women's arms.
Yeah.
Boo! Missouri Republicans have found their post-Roe enemy, Cardigans.
No, cardigans are their friends. Women's arms are the enemy.
No, they were fighting over if cardigans qualify as jackets. So if women can even wear cardigans. But mostly they were... So one of the representatives, Peter Meredith, tweeted this out last week. So debating the House rules on the floor today and the First Amendment offered by the Republicans is about making stricter rules of what women have to wear in the state house. Yep, the caucus that lost their minds over the suggestion that they shouldn't have to wear masks during a pandemic to respect the safety of others is now spending its time focusing on the fine details of what women have to wear, specifically how to cover their arms to show respect.
Well, this is what the voters obviously want, Kristen. This is top of mind for voters.
It also, it reminds me of, I think it's a different purpose, but a story from last year with Tierman Spencer, who's the city attorney for Milwaukee, and kind of the lots of chaos happening in that office, lots of people resigning and leaving.
Retiring.
But one of the things in reaction to sexual assault claims against Tierman Spencer, he issued a statement saying what women can and cannot wear to work. And it was like, you can't show your legs, you can't show your arms, no cleavage, no bare backs, no open-toed shoes. And it's like, what lawyer is going to work dressing in any of that? And it's the same thing. It's like, what violation of who showed up to work wearing what at the State House looking so unbelievably unprofessional that this was at the top of your list within the first 2 weeks of the legislative session?
Can I just throw in a little sidebar here?
Sure.
Have you seen pictures of one of our state reps, Glenn Grothman?
Oh, I almost covered that story. Are you specifically talking about him posing with his flag?
Yes. And Wisconsin is open. He looks rumpled. He's not wearing a jacket. And he's wearing tennis shoes that appear to be untied. And that's in Washington, right?
Are we talking about the same story? So there was a story that broke...
About the flag in front of
about
his office.
About the flag that has ties to Christian nationalism.
Yes, but that was that. I'm just referring to the outfit he was wearing.
And that I was debating whether or not to talk about that topic of the flag and all this stuff. And I decided not to cover it today because I was like, there's enough that I'm complaining about that maybe I will just pass on that today. But literally seeing his outfit, every time I see a picture of Glenn Grothman, I'm like, who dresses you?
Yes.
Who is responsible for making sure that your clothes kind of fit, like even a little bit? And it's so. And again, if it was, you know, I try to not take the low hanging fruit of what people look like. But I agree with you. And if we're actually talking about if we're going to mandate what people can and cannot wear,
what's acceptable.
Why is that acceptable? And wearing a Ann Taylor A-line skirt with a, you know, in the summer.
A sleeveless blouse.
A capped sleeve blouse that fits nicely, it's well coordinated, is not appropriate. And you can show up wearing like three sizes too big with like half your shirt not tucked in and untied tennis shoes. And that's just Glenn being Glenn.
I think I might have it.
What do you have?
They're intimidated by biceps. Actually developed biceps. So they don't want to be reminded of it because it's just, ooh.
Well, what's crazy is that from what I could tell, it was a Republican woman that introduced the proposal. And I saw a back and forth between two different women, a Democratic woman and a Republican woman in the Missouri State House that fighting over this.
And so her argument is what we're temptresses. We're all Jezebels, and it's our fault. Again, this is going back to the whole, if you are raped or sexually assaulted, what were you wearing? It's your fault.
Totally. I think it's also the point that the rep made of, you refuse to wear a mask, but we're going to tell you what you have to wear. But I don't have to wear a mask when it comes to people's health and safety. And I think that is the strongest point as far as, it just comes back to this idea of who gets to be free. It's a free country for who?
Well, we're certainly going backwards when it comes to women's rights.
And again, I'm just trying to imagine Francesca Hong's reaction if this ever were to come up in the Madison legislature.
But they're so outnumbered, what would they be able to do about it?
I don't know, but do you remember? I remember this because I made a video about it. And it was pretty hard. So this was back in, speaking of masks and appropriate wear, because I think there is a law, a bylaw or whatever, in the Wisconsin State House that men have to wear jackets, because there was an exchange between Chris Larson and something else. It was in the state Senate. They were both in their offices because it was COVID. And so they were doing the legislative session in their own respective offices.
Okay.
And why can't I think of his name? But there was it was all on WISSI.
Not Kapenga, was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Kapenga. And Kapenga's telling Chris Larson to put his jacket on. And Chris, in the most like snarky, sarcastic, he's like, okay, so I'm in my office, not in front of anyone, and you want me to put my jacket on because of the rules, but you refuse to wear a mask. And it was just this petty exchange between the two of them. And I ended up making a video like lip syncing both. And it was pretty hard to do, but it goes back to the same thing. It's like, what rules do you adhere to because of polite protocol? Well, the rules are the rules versus this is a rule I don't want to follow. So here are all the reasons why it's impinging on my freedom.
We're going backwards.
Well, some places are not going backwards. It's places where there's a lot of gerrymandering. We're going backwards. And now I don't think I have time. I wanted to talk about Yellen and the debt ceiling, but I think that is too big of a topic to try to cover with 2 minutes left. But when we come back, just a little fun to round out the hour, our senior senator, Ron Johnson, was on Meet the Press. And I think, you know, I think Chuck Todd, it was a good reminder as far as why you need to, for your own, to like sharpen your chops and always be ready. If you only ever go on partisan news outlets that lob you softballs, when you get to the big boys, you may be ill-equipped to answer the questions. So stick around for that clip. When we come back, this is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with "The Bears Still Suck" as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a chance for isolated showers. Lows level off around 37. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast tomorrow. Chance for isolated showers. Daytime highs approaching 39. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows around 31. A dusting of snow Wednesday night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
In the Capitol building, the chosen few, I wrote a song for you. I wrote a song for you as you walk through statuary.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic you think we should cover, or if you have an idea for a guest we should have on, or if you have feedback, or if you just like Jane's music and you want the link to the Spotify playlist where all of our bumper music is, you should email us, asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. We always reply.
We do.
I mean, that's what I spent a large part of yesterday. I was just replying to
answering emails. Yep.
All right. So my husband sent this to me. And I think he sent it to me last night as far as the headline being... Go back on your partisan cable cocoon. Chuck Todd throws down with Ron Johnson on Hunter Biden in truly heated clash. Now, do you watch many of the Sunday shows?
I don't. I'm rarely up that early. I will see the repeats. You know, I'll see the clips on Twitter and stuff. So I did see this.
Oh, you saw it live?
No, I saw it. I saw it yesterday after it.
Yeah, I feel like I almost like everything now. I usually see the clips that are worth posting, and people talk about what that clip was versus watching the whole show. And lo and behold, here we go. It's a 7-minute clip altogether. I think the interview might have been a little bit longer, so we grabbed about 2.5.
It's about 2 minutes
of it. So here you are,
Chuck. Is it a crime to be soliciting and purchasing prostitution in potentially European sex trafficking operations? Is that a crime? Because Chuck Grassley and I laid out about $30,000 paid by Hunter Biden to those types of individuals over December 2018, 2019, about $30,000. This is about the same time that President Biden offered to pay about $100,000 of Hunter Biden's bills. I mean, again, that's just some information. I don't know exactly.
Here's what I don't
crime.
Get. All right, Senator.
It doesn't really look on the. It sounds sleazy, as you know.
I'll take you at your word that you're ethically bothered by Hunter Biden. I'm curious, though. You seem to have a pattern.
Are you not?
I'm a journalist. I have to deal in facts.
Are you not? I deal in facts.
So, Senator, my question to you is, I'm always worried. I have skepticism of both parties. I sit here with skepticism of a lot of people's work, and I'm curious.
So
Were you at all concerned? Your Senate Democrats want to investigate Jared Kushner's loan from the Qatari government when he was working in the government negotiating many things in the Middle East. Are you not concerned about that? And I say that because it seems to me if you're concerned about what Hunter Biden did, you should be equally outraged about what Jared Kushner did.
I'm concerned about getting the truth. I don't target individuals.
You're targeting Hunter Biden Senator. You're targeting an individual.
Part of the problem, and this is pretty obvious to anybody watching this, is you don't invite me on to interview me. You invite me on to argue with me. You know, I'm just trying to lay out the facts that certainly Senator Grassley and I uncovered. They were suppressed. They were censored. They interfered in the 2020 election. Conservatives understand that. Unfortunately, liberals in the media don't. And that's part of the things part of the reasons our politics are inflamed is we do not have an unbiased media. We don't. It's unfortunate. I'm all for a free press.
Well,
it needs
Senator,
to be more unbiased.
Senator,
there's misinformation on both sides, but the
Senator,
censorship and
Senator,
suppression
look, we're trying to
primarily
do issues
occurs
here, in
from
fact,
the left.
Partisan cable. Look, you can go back on your partisan cable cocoon and talk about media bias all you want. I understand it's part of your identity.
Chuck Todd rarely pushes back.
See, and that's, I know less. You know who's really great at pushing back is George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah.
He is, I feel like, the king of not, of who's currently on air. Who else is really good?
I just feel like most of them allow these politicians to spew their talking points and never dispute them with actual facts.
And this is the thing that I feel like he didn't answer it, which is, what is the actual crime? Because that's the part that I still don't understand. I don't think I would debate that Hunter Biden is, I would never say yes to a date with Hunter Biden. Let's put it that way, right? Like, I think he is, has a lot of demons.
Yeah.
A lot of issues. I think, as Chuck Todd said, it's not illegal to make money off of your name and nepotism. And
look at the entire Trump family. Are you kidding me?
And I think earlier in that segment, you know, there is talks as far as, or like allegations potentially of prostitution and sex, like the sex trafficking and stuff like that of the people that he was giving, like paying money to. And all of that is a problem. But as far as the ties to the government and corruption, I still don't see the connection. But I also am not that interested in this story. So if someone can explain, someone in a objective way, explain to me why this is such an obsession, specifically for Ron Johnson, because I think that's the other good point that Chuck Todd may say. He's like, I understand that ethically he bothers you, but I don't understand what is the crime. And he doesn't answer the question.
Well, but I was also disappointed with Chuck Todd in that he could have brought up the fact that Ivanka Trump got 17 trademarks from China right after her father met with Chinese officials, that Donald Trump, while he was president, had a bank account in China that we just found out about because they opened up his tax returns after all this time. They're so blatantly not concerned about ethics when it's their folks.
Well, it's the same thing right now as we breaking news over the weekend. There's even more documents in Biden's house, which is not good. And do the investigation. Like, I think that is the difference, right? It's like, I don't think that there is anyone on the left or Democrats saying, trying to block people finding out what those documents were, how they got there, who potentially saw them, and what happened here. But those same people who are calling for an investigation on Hunter Biden, but more specifically and more timely, and I think more relevantly, I don't think that's a word, is these classified documents. But at the same time, then they don't want an investigation on Trump and his hundreds of documents.
Of course not.
And so it's like, why are the rules changing? Why do you hold one person to a certain standard and you want to spend resources and time and energy investigating one thing and not the other? And that's the thing that I think is so frustrating. But it was also because we know firsthand, Ron Johnson's very, very comfortable on certain radio shows in Wisconsin.
Isn't he, though?
And less comfortable on others.
And did you notice also when he was talking to Chuck Todd yesterday morning, it was from Fort Myers, Florida.
Oh, I did not notice that part.
Yes, the family compound in Florida.
Which is interesting because we're having a very mild winter up here in Wisconsin. I don't know why anyone wouldn't want to be here right now as I look at the rain outside the window. All right.
Because then you might run into constituents. That's sticky.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, a reflection on Martin Luther King. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Devil's Advocates.
But do you think the Biden administration's calling up Laura Ingraham and making the announcement to the world that we're invading Russia with amphibious troops? Come on, Trump. I mean, and I want to hear fine Trumpsters that want to defend that crap. You know, he's a little late for the early bird buffet. Maybe you people were just naive marks who believed he was a super genius.
Then I got some land I'd like to sell you outside of Fukushima.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.